This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to the Galaxy Wars podcast. We are your host, The Grays, and in this episode, we are getting to tackle the Luc Besson sci-fi movie Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, starring Dane DeHaan, Cara Devlin, Clive Owen, Rihanna, and Herbie Hancock. And the crazy thing about this movie is this was supposed to be hyped up. This is taken from the lore of the Valerian and Loreline comics of French notoriety, and that started in 1967 by Pierre Christian and Jean-Claude Mazur. I think that sounded great.
Yeah, if I'm French, if, right? So.
And this is, from what I got, I understood, the French market is the third highest rated comic market in the world.
Oh, really?
Yep, it's us, Japan, and France.
Oh, wow.
And then this is a, like I said, 50, this marked, the release of this marked the 50th anniversary of Valerian and Loreline. So they were really excited for this movie to come out. As were people at Hall H in San Diego when they did the San Diego Comic-Con footage. And, you know, I thought it was going to be okay because I liked Luc Besson. And
I like Luc Besson. I like a lot of stuff he's done.
I like Fifth Element. He did Lucy.
Yeah.
I really liked both of them. So I was like, okay, you know, this has its potential. But then I saw the leads. And then I saw Rihanna was cast in it. And then I forgot that it was out in theaters.
Yeah.
And then I watched it on DVD, and here we are. We're going to talk about it. So the whole thing, the whole premise of this movie is what I got was it was Valerian, Major Valerian, trying to impress Loreline to marry him.
Right.
And before we go any further, obviously there's going to be spoilers in this as this is a movie review. So if you were going to see Valerian and you don't want to hear spoilers, wait until you see it and then listen to us. But so, what did you think of the movie overall?
Didn't like it. Didn't like it one bit. Oh, that's a lie. It looked good.
Yeah, visually, it was beautiful.
Yeah. It's in the same, visually, same universe as Fifth Element. He could pull that off. He's good at that.
Yeah, and this could have been a great follow-up to Fifth Element.
It could have been like a spiritual successor to it, but he's good at sci-fi. He knows what he's doing. He's not an idiot. This isn't a bad director doing a bad movie. This is a pretty good director that knows the subject matter. He knows Valerian and Loreline, who he for some reason didn't put her name in the title. It's in every single comic book everywhere.
Yep. But,
and she has a bigger backstory than Valerian does.
Yeah. And he Luc Besson didn't get paid for this movie.
Right.
This is his
true, like we talked about Passion Projects before. This is his real down to earth passion project. This is what he wanted to do. This is what he would have been happy ending his career on.
Yeah. And this might have ended his career based off this movie. Because if you think about it, from watching the movie, there were 40 years of comics. It's been out for 50 years. Because it stopped producing comics in 2010. But
it started in 1967.
Yeah.
I think you said that.
Yeah. And with that, it felt like this movie was all 40 years in 2 hours and 17 minutes,
right,
or 37 minutes. It was a crazy long movie. But there wasn't any fluidity to it.
No.
It was too many. Like, the whole premise of the movie is to save a race by getting a converter to the moon people, or the pearl people of the planet Moon.
Mol.
So to get them their converter, which the converter is a hedgehog-like creature.
Yeah, like a hedgehog armadillo lizard.
Yeah, very, very cutesy-wootsy. It's like one of those things. I never thought I'd ever say that
word. And basically what the converter does is you shove something into it.
Yeah.
Right?
And it makes money.
In its mouth? You shove it in its mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You shove a pearl in its mouth.
You shove anything, because she doesn't. They talk about you could shove anything into its mouth, and it physically recreates
money.
Like, yeah. Or, well, it makes copies, copies of it.
And it didn't look like it was a very non-painful event for this thing. It was screaming, the converter.
Yeah, it was weird.
And we'll start with the converter. So the whole movie starts out with on the planet Mole.
Right.
And the moon or the Pearl people are doing their things. They get a Pearl. Then there's a military attack. The one girl dies. Her spear gets trapped. And during this whole scene, I thought I was watching a video game. The movie,
it's like a cutscene.
Yeah, it opens with the Beatles playing, which immediately kind of turned me off.
Well,
I would have rather had a French singer.
Before this, here's where it tricked me into maybe like it's where this tricked me into thinking it could get better. I thought the opening scene where they show the space station,
yeah,
and the International Space Station go from welcoming different nationalities, welcome the Chinese, mm-hmm. the Russians. Well, it starts with the Russians and Chinese, then Japanese. Like it goes from being an American, British thing to every nationality, yeah. like it should be.
And then the alien.
And then an alien yeah. came. And then it became welcoming. And as you see it, it gets bigger, it goes more into the future. The yeah. station gets bigger and more aliens come. And then they go into the backstory of the station that, where Walt Rucker Howard tells us it's too heavy, it needs to be pushed, and stuff like yeah. that. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool.
It was nice to see Rucker Howard.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while.
So I was like, I'm in. I can watch this. And then the rest of the movie happened.
Yeah, and you know, I made a list, and there's more likes on it than there were dislikes.
Yeah.
But the dislikes outweighed the likes
yeah.
substantially, because it's hard to, once we get to my dislikes, it's hard to replace those.
Right.
And if you replace them, you have a whole different movie. But like you said, the space opening was really cool. Like they showed you the continuity of the universe. Everybody was getting together for a greater good, and the aliens were really cool too. Like even the landscapes, visually, this movie is stunning.
And what was kind of fun, yeah, it is. And what I was like, okay, well, we knew that Valerian and Loreline is a 50-year-old property.
Yeah.
That has a 40-year running. So they mixed a little bit of that. They took some storyline and they mixed it with, you know, current day with the space yeah. station and stuff like that. And Luc Besson's kind of vision for his future, because it kind of has the same vibe as Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Like, this could work because he's pulled in like current times with the space station and how we got to this point.
Yeah.
With an old property that didn't have that idea. And it's like, okay, well, now we have a good place to start from, and you can make a good movie from this. But
yeah, the one takeaway, I watched it with Chelsea, and the one takeaway that she had was she thought that the Pearl people put on makeup really cool. And that's what she wanted. I wrote it down. I felt like I needed to do it. But another thing that I really liked is that the planet constellation location map was really cool, where
yeah.
like every time we went to a new planet, it told you, they explained the creatures, they explained how many creatures were there. I think it was 3,000 species. They spoke 5,000 languages.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the a lot of it gave you creature backstories, like what they were for, like the tech,
right.
The tech ones. The other ones could create matter.
Yeah,
the other ones dealt with their money. That explanation was cool. The whole premise of Valerian or Alpha, which is
yeah.
Which is the ship that they're on. Alpha is the city of 1,000 planets.
Yeah, it's the station now, becomes the city.
Yeah, so the
four or 500 years in the future, something like that.
Yeah, the whole explanation of Alpha was great.
Yeah.
And I felt like we got more explanation of Alpha than we really did of Valerian and Loreline.
Yeah.
Because
To the extent that later on, when they go back and explain everything all over again,
yeah,
and they explain it to Valerian and Loreline, like, they have never been there. Well, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't given us exposition at all, and now you want to make this like, you want to slap us in the face with it.
Yeah.
But that's for later on down the line.
Yeah, so you get Valerian, they introduce Valerian and Loreline in a simulation of, well, Valerian has a dream of the Pearl people all dying, the
yeah.
decimation of their entire world. Then he tries to have sex with Loreline.
Yeah.
In 3 minutes or less, as she says.
Yeah.
Then they get their mission. They're going to put on better looking clothes for their mission, and right. she just puts on a shawl over her bikini.
Yeah.
And then
she puts a bikini over her bikini.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And he puts on tourist clothes. They never, not once did they explain the things on their neck.
Nope.
And it looked like there was like a play button on it.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like an iPad.
It was just some random technology. Everybody wore it, so.
She didn't have one on her neck. Loreline didn't. I think I only saw one on his.
I saw one on his, and I saw one on
the guy who helped him with the guns, right?
Yeah, but also the guys that were in the wherever that station or wherever the we're talking about
this. Alpha.
No, not Alpha. Where was the main ship at? With the commander.
They were on Alpha.
That was parked at Alpha? Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was centered in Alpha.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the Asian
the guy
correspondent, worked, yeah. He had the thing on it. And so their mission, they take you to what looks like a wasteland. Looks like Mad Max, right. Fury Road. And that's when they introduce you to characters that we never got names for.
Yeah.
On magic school buses.
Right. That
was way too CGI.
Well, yeah, this is literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in the future on a different planet with aliens that contact different dimensions, and they want to do tours on buses.
Yeah, school buses.
Like, it makes zero sense.
Like, dirty school buses, yeah. Too. And
like, school buses with, like, you know, space engines on them.
Yeah, but they hover.
Yeah.
And this is where it introduces probably the coolest part of the entire movie.
I like this part.
The marketplace. Yeah. And I wrote that the marketplace concept was fantastic because all the tech minus the school buses, even at times when the school bus turned into the tank, that was pretty cool. But like, all the tech in this movie was really cool. When Loreline shoots the guard and she gives the other soldier, I don't know if they're soldiers or they're bounty hunters or pirates or whatever the hell they are, puts them on he wears like the Raiden hat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's able to control the machine
gun. Yeah, it basically takes over. Yeah.
I thought that was cool. The VR was really advanced where for those of you who haven't watched it and those of you who have, the marketplace is invisible, essentially.
Yeah, it's in another dimension where they have a million stores in this marketplace. Yeah.
And we see, of course, the obnoxious American shoppers. And they put on their VR goggles and they're able to transport themselves, not even just visually, like their whole body goes into it and they're able to see everything, which I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And even so, the whole point is that Valerian and Loreline are there to get something. The mission was never explained. It was just stay on task, get your mission. That's what they do. So Valerian and he has to they split up. Valerian has to go in and retrieve this item by using a box that only shows his arm.
It's like a matter. I think they say it's a matter convergence or something like that. So he goes from being VR to real.
Yeah, and they paint him.
Yeah,
like that tech was really cool too.
And all the tech was cool. Yeah. I mean, a big dopey box he has to carry around that just has his arm pointing out. It was kind of silly, but
and the whole purpose of that was they had to go into this lair.
Yeah.
Like more of a space pawn shop in an area where humans were not allowed to go because they had if your U was green, you could go there. If your U was red, you can't go there. So this was clearly a red spot. They go in there and it's John Goodman's character, which is really cool. You see the Pearl people, they're sitting down there. They're hashing out a deal for the converter, which we find out is the converter. And then Valerian goes to arrest John Goodman's character.
Just says, you're under arrest.
Yeah, and explains who he is.
Yep. Gives him his name. Might as well give him his address.
Yeah, his resume. Gives him his whole resume. And then it goes, he leaves, and John Goodman's character says, I will find you wherever you are, and I will kill you.
Do you ever see him again?
Never explained. Okay. Never. And
never see him again.
Could have been a great, great point in the whole movie. Just like you said, it could have spent the whole movie
in the market. Yeah.
Exploring all the millions of stores, not even shopping, but just getting in trouble.
Right. And there's the black market for that area is probably really cool. And
yeah. And we saw Valerian get in trouble, chased by the soldiers. I don't know if they're cops or if they're security guards or bounty hunters.
I don't know.
No exposition on that. Then he falls into an arcade because his arm gets stuck. We see that little fat troll thing shooting green goo.
Shot boogers at him or something.
Yeah. The cool thing about the chase was the ball bearing, magnets. The guard shoots Valerian's box arm because it's broken, and he weighs him down so much to the ground.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. It's like a non-lethal thing. It's like, okay, you shoot one ball bearing, and then it attracts all the other ones. I thought it was a cool idea.
Yeah, and even the counter of it, of when Valerian gives that little fat kid the ball bearing, he shoots the guard, and it goes through him. I thought that was really cool, but I don't know what happened in the rest of the movie. Because we'll go to like some of the dislikes, though. The leads.
No.
Dane DeHaan and Cara Devlin, who, if you guys don't know who they are, Dane DeHaan played Harry Osborn in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Right.
And he did a movie called The Cure for Wellness. And
did he really?
Yeah, he was in that. That looks actually pretty good. I might watch that. And then Cara Devlin was in Paper Towns, and she was in Suicide Squad as the Enchantress.
Yeah.
So I don't know if these are the cast members that Luc Besson had in mind. I went on IMDb. There was no...
Yeah.
This role was offered to Daniel Radcliffe or anybody like that. I feel like this is just a studio thing. Like, get these two together. Maybe. They work together.
They're young.
Yeah.
He's a major in whatever military.
He looks 14.
Yeah. He's... I don't know how old he is in real life, but... Yeah, he can't... He said he's been in the Corps or whatever for 9 years.
Yeah. He's been there since
he was
11.
Seriously, he looks like he's 25 years old, if that.
And he's supposed to be like this loyal soldier. I didn't get that from him until the very end where there's like a controversy between him, or dispute between him and Laureline. And she's supposed to be an 11th century French woman.
Right.
But who's supposed to be his equal, and she's downplayed in every... Yeah. She's a damsel in distress in every scene in this movie.
And when we say supposed to, we mean this, like, this is from the source material that, you know, the comics.
From Pierre and Jean-Claude.
Yeah. They wrote this a certain way, and, like, she was never a damsel.
Yeah.
And, she, like, Valerian was... He is explained as, like, loyal to the galaxy.
Yeah.
The galaxy is, like, the government.
Yeah.
But he's loyal to them to a fault, which that is never really a thing in this.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't seem to like them.
Yeah, the only backstory we got for Valerian is that he slept with a lot of women.
Yeah.
That was honestly no backstory for Laureline. Okay. Nothing. And the chemistry was off between the two of them.
Like, yeah, they didn't seem to on screen like each other or like each other off screen.
Yeah.
Like
they're not friends.
Yeah.
And just for a movie that was... In all the videos I've watched summarizing Valerian and all the stuff that I've read, puts it in a realm where if Doctor Who and James Bond had a series crossover, that's what Valerian comics were meant to be. It didn't come off like that at all. It kind of felt 40 years of comics in a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. There was...
I'm a sucker for...
We really didn't get to know who either one of them are.
Yeah.
And inexplicably... You know, spoiler again, which there will be a lot of them. He's been trying to bang her, I guess, for a while.
Yeah.
And then he's like, do you want to get married?
Yeah, let's go to the store, go to the mall, and we'll find a priest.
No, I don't know.
It went from a potential spy sci-fi movie, or a movie that took place over a war of people, to a love story.
Right.
And it didn't translate well.
No.
And neither of these characters...
And it was, like you said, it became about him. You didn't care about what he was doing because he was just trying to impress her. So there was a thing going on. There was a story. He's finding things out, but it's like, it all goes back to...
If he can get into her pants.
Yeah.
And just, the whole story kind of just, it moves on from there. So you get, they get the converter.
There's a lot of just moving on.
Yeah. They go from the converter... Valerian gets the converter, gets out of the jam. There's a big, cool-looking beast that chases the school bus. They get out of there. Then they go and they go back to Alpha, and the rest of the movie really takes place on Alpha.
Right.
So there's your title. It should have been called Alpha, the City of a Thousand Planets, because that's where you're at. You get Clive Owen's character, who is the commander.
Yeah.
Kind of dickish. Very dickish.
Yeah. And he's dressed like M. Bison from the movie.
Street Fighter. So you have him, and there's a mission that he is who he is, that Valerian and Laureline have to be his bodyguards.
Right.
And he's got really cool, like, I think they're called like Kalon or Kylon robots that take care of him, like enforcers, and they were cool.
Yeah, they look like Cylons a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they had really cool
like the
design.
Old Cylons, yeah.
But then there's, like, the Clive Owen's character doesn't want Valerian and Laureline there because obviously he's doing some shady shit behind the scenes, which we find out is he's captured a pearl from the planet Mjolnir.
A pearl is a person.
Yeah. Who, it looks like a pearl. It has like the alabaster kind of, it's got the pearlish look on its skin.
The skin's pearlescent, and it changes color. And
They're very androgynous looking.
Yeah, and the pearls, the actual like little pearls that they have are just like these super conductive, super high energy pearls.
Yeah, I think the Intruder, which is the ship that they ride, said that it was like 20 times or 200 times the power of all the entire ship.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, and it's a little pearl. Like, you'll hear us say this is cool, but it doesn't amount to a cool movie, which is weird.
Yeah, the concept of... All right, so the comics sound really cool.
Yeah.
The concept of...
Very readable.
Of, yeah, if we can translate. I think only six... Two to six, I think, volumes were translated.
Yeah.
If we can get our hands on it.
They don't do comics like... They're not a monthly published. They're like more like an indie publishing schedule.
Yeah, I think their trades are 45 pages.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a small... Small series.
Yeah.
And they were very cartoony, is what I got, but with mature themes.
Yeah.
So...
But they released it, like, Garfield back in the day. Yeah. They put so many out in the magazines.
And then they combine them.
Then they release an anthology every
and
year.
From all the research I did on Valerian and Loreline comics, very, very... It looks like... Now, this is just me and the people that I've listened to. They think that Star Wars bit off of Valerian pretty hard.
Heard a lot of that.
Yeah, Loreline wore a slave bikini 11 years before Princess Leia did. Valerian gets trapped in a crystallized goo, which he does in the movie as well.
Yeah.
And that's carbonite.
And there's the pose, the famous Luke and Leia pose, before you find out they're brother and sister, but... That's kind of copied, or not copied. They did this before. Like, you see it in one of the comic covers.
Yeah.
Valerian and Loreline doing that comic, or that pose.
And the Intruder looks exactly like the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
So it's never been corroborated, but it looks like that some of the people over at Lucasfilms were big fans of Valerian comics. Which, I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, if it's as successful and as popular as it really is,
right?
This movie could have been groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And it made money. It made its budget, probably because they didn't pay the director. But I feel like this movie should have been a franchise.
Yeah, it feels like we got it like in on like three movies in.
Yeah,
and they turned it like here's a movie.
Yeah, and
it's a mess.
Movie one should have been backstories of Valerian and Loreline. And the store, or the bazaar where they're at. The second one should have been the decimation of the pearls.
Yeah.
And the third one should have been...
Could have been him going around, Dane DeHaan is just going around, being a ladies' man and doing all that. Yeah. And then, the relationship developing.
Valerian is kind of like Han Solo.
Yeah.
And where he could have had his own little spinoff, and then Loreline could have had her... little spinoff as well, but we got 40 years of comics in a movie. It's really, I don't think I like.
I think this is more from what we, the research we've done. This is more nods and subtle winks and allusions to the comics than it is actual movie.
Yep.
Like there's so much in here that are, remember this one or hey, remember this storyline? Then like. Because every other scene is filled with like five different like allusions and nods,
Easter
and it's not
and
like
everything.
It's not story. It's not the bulk of the story. That's why we have so many characters in this that are unnecessary and don't need to be there.
I think we saw all 3,000 species. Like this movie is essentially a fan film when a fan got $200 million to put out the movie because he loved it.
Right.
So I'm gonna I think he was more. Luke was trying to more impress Pierre and Jean-Claude because him and Jean-Claude had a relationship from Fifth Element. Yeah. He brought him in to design all the characters. I feel like he was trying to impress them more than make this a household name. Because this kind of taints, this would make people want to move away from the comics. If the movie's this bad, this was like a video game adaptation of a movie.
Well, let's break a lot down here. this is, like I said, Luc Besson's really good. I like Luc Besson.
Fifth Element is one of my favorite sci-fi movies.
Leon is one of my all-time favorite movies, just in general. Right. That, you know, it's amazing. And it gave us, what's her name?
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, came from Leon. So he knows how to, like, he's a good director.
Yeah.
He knows how to take low budget and turn it into something amazing.
He makes beautiful films.
Yeah.
I even like
and
Lucy.
He's got a great eye.
Yeah, Lucy was really good
as well. Yeah, I thought so too. But this goes beyond that. It's bad casting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like any casting besides John Goodman's voice?
All right, what do we have here? We have Dane DeHaan, who
plays Valerian.
Is a mess.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on. He's like, he's trying to do an imitation of Keanu Reeves back from like
from Point Break.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like when you hear people say Keanu Reeves should stop talking, is because of his stupid way he talks.
Yeah, that's Dane DeHaan.
Sounds like Dane DeHaan, and I don't know if that's how he real talks for real. I don't know.
From what I've seen him in, yeah, that's him.
And Kara, whatever
Devlin.
I don't know. Is she going to be famous? Apparently
she's very famous.
Yeah.
And she's part of Taylor Swift's crew.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Is she ever going to win an Oscar? Is she ever going to be a great actress?
I'm shocked that I know three of her movies. And I've seen three of her movies because I saw Paper Towns. And I don't know.
I forgot she was The Enchantress. I liked her as The Enchantress.
That movie was just dreck.
Yeah, but as the it was a bad... It's not her fault how bad The Enchantress was, but I thought she played it okay.
So can you attribute this to...
Clive Owen, who's a good actor...
Oh, I hated him in this.
...was not good actor. No. Not, like...
He had so many different character flaws. Like, he was a strong leader, he was a liar, he was a wimp, he was a turncoat. Like, he was nothing. He was just... I don't, like...
They heaped every bad trope and scenario on him.
Yep.
Like, instead of, like, having him just, like, develop into a bad... character, they just said, everybody's going to know right away that you have all the bad traits to make a bad character.
And I honestly thought that his second in command, that guy who ended up being the general, I kind of thought he was going to turn most halfway through the movie.
Yeah, he never knew. He
was playing it by the book. He was like, yeah, this is what...
He's probably the third most seen person in this movie, and he's just, he barely talks.
I don't think we got a name for him.
Yeah.
The people we see the most, we see Dane DeHaan,
right?
Kara Devlin, that guy,
yeah,
the general, and then the Asian guy. They're the Diggy Daggins. I think that was their names. Which that's a
Let's get back into the cast. Okay, so Dane's bad.
Yeah.
Kara's bad. Clive's bad. Rihanna,
pointless.
Pointless.
Absolutely pointless.
Rihanna comes up fourth on IMDb. She's in the movie for 5 minutes.
And all the, like, it seems
and
like...
And every single line is so stupid and like...
Well, Rihanna, when we first meet Rihanna, she's a stripper or an escort. And that takes, like, her species is from straight from the comics, where they are usually disguised as escorts.
Yeah, and she's a polymorph.
Yeah, named Bubble.
Yeah.
Dumbass name.
It's a good start, like everything else in this movie. It started good because of the way that she was introduced.
Bubble was cool. Bubble was very integral to the third act of the movie.
Yeah.
However, Rihanna's strip scene, I feel like the studio just said, let's get Rihanna in here, put her in some sexy costumes, because she wasn't spinning around the pole.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff was either CGI or stunt double.
Yeah, they've had to bring in a double.
And then she was...
I think I saw a white girl in the pole for like a second there. Like it obviously wasn't Rihanna. Not to say that Rihanna couldn't do it, because she probably could. But
it wasn't her.
Yeah.
And her character was CGI. So they really could have just taken a nobody to do it. Her voice didn't bring anything to it. So she didn't sing. It wasn't anything special. And she's like, she's pimped up out by Ethan Hawke.
Yeah. With like, some like nose rings.
Yeah. His name is... I think his name was like Billy the Pimp.
Jolly the Pimp.
Jolly the Pimp.
Yikes. And the thing about Rihanna too is they told her, hey, get rid of that accent.
Yeah.
Like you're not Bahamian.
That's what they told everybody. Kara Devlin's British, she had an American accent. Dane DeHaan, I'm pretty sure, is British, had an American accent. The only one who kept their accent was Clive Owen.
That's weird.
And this is a French based movie.
Yeah.
Filmed in over in France.
Just
so become American.
I don't know.
And this is like...
It's messy.
And you get to the controversy at the end, like where Luke Besson comes out and he says, I blame Captain America and superhero movies.
Yeah, for American superhero movies.
For the decline of my movie. No, it was a bad movie.
Right.
I hope he comes out later and says, this isn't the movie I wanted. Like, that's not the cast that I wanted.
I hope the director's cut has 80-yard lines where they get rid of everybody's stupid accent. And
how long is the director's cut if they make one?
4 hours.
God.
It's two movies. It's like a Hobbit movie.
Yeah. This reminds me of the Jupiter Ascending movie.
Yeah.
Where it should have been a trilogy, and it just lumped everything together in just one movie. Because there's no likable characters.
Well, you gotta think, he wrote this too, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what writing credits he has that are good. They're giving writing credits to Pierre and Jean-Claude.
Yeah, because they're the creators.
Yeah, but this didn't come, like, you got to think maybe he pitched it as a trilogy.
Yeah.
And then the studios were like, dude, this is a mess.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's really good. Trust me. And they're like, look, you're a director. Well, you know, we know what you can do, but this isn't your best work. Yeah,
we'll give you 2.5 hours. Give us your best work.
Yeah.
And he took like his greatest, like Pierre and Jean-Claude's greatest hits.
Yeah.
And put it into a 2-hour movie. And it's really tough to do. And if he was tied back and held back because of studio expectations,
listen,
then I get
this
it.
This is his writing. Okay. This is his writing credits. Columbiana, Lucy, Leon, Lockout, Taken, all the Transporters. All the Takens, which, you know...
Movies that were enjoyable.
I loved Taken.
Yeah.
Like, I loved...
the first Transporter was great.
I loved Leon. I loved Transporter.
Columbiana was good.
Yeah.
Lucy was good. He does great with female leads, too.
Revolver was a great movie.
Lockout, that's with Guy Pearce. I think I like that.
Yeah. Kiss of the Dragon was a great movie. So, no, you can't... You
can't blame it on the writing either.
No. He was a good writer. He is a good writer.
He's like, a fan who got money and made a fan film.
Yeah.
And
he's like, it must have been, and this is like us speculating because we don't know. We don't know anything.
Yeah, and he won't come answer our emails.
But it's like, if you're given $200,000 or $200 million to make your Marvel film,
yeah,
are you going to be able to rein yourself in? Are you going to be like, I'm putting Cap Wolf in there?
Yeah, absolutely. Moon Knight and Cap Wolf are fighting each other
for no reason. Yeah. Everyone's gonna be like, "This he knows the material. He's had 6 podcasts about comic books. Yep. How'd he come up with this?" Yep. And it was because it's your passion project. You're not. There's only like you're only gonna have one chance to make the thing that you've always wanted to make.
Jason Momoa is gonna play Namor and he's shirtless the entire time. Tom Hardy's Venom's in it. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Jason Momoa is gonna play Aquaman as Namor.
Yeah. Yeah, come on in there.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it, the excuses. He
had a passion project, and he blew his load to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. I'd be in the same predicament.
And you can't, when I guess something like that, you can't tell him, boy, that was garbage. Because he's going to be like, nah, man, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen on film.
Yep, it's everything that I wanted from it. It captured all my favorite scenes from Valerian comics. Yeah. It's like if you and I made a Batman movie.
Right.
We're both fans of Batman. We would include Clayface, The Killing Joke, Hush. We would have everybody in there. And people would be like, what the fuck is happening in your movie? Batman does nothing.
Yeah.
And we'd have 7 different Batmans. Batman Beyond would come into it. Damian Wayne, Red Hood, everybody's in there.
You know, 2.5 hours in, they travel to the future. Like, what's going on?
Now, every Batman, everybody who's played Batman is in it. It's like a multiverse. You have Keaton. You have CGI Adam West. George Clooney's there with his nipples. That little kid from Gotham, everybody's there. Like, if that's what we would have given.
You got to think that's what it is. Because he's been wishy-washy about, like, he didn't know that Fifth Element was going to turn into Fifth Element.
Yeah.
He didn't know Leon was going to turn into Leon.
Yeah.
Because that's become like a, you know, everybody watches that and everybody loves that movie. He didn't know Taken was going to turn into Taken. Like, he's came out and said, like, you know, I just wrote and made these movies that were great, and I thought they were great, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
This is a movie I think might have been the just polar opposite. And he was like, I can make great movies. This is great source material. Everybody's going to love it. And then he shipped us out.
And he's French, correct?
Yeah.
So maybe if he got this wrong, he would let down an entire nation.
Right. And this is the most expensive movie ever made in France.
Yeah.
So.
And he had to get everything that he wanted out of it to make this work.
Maybe that's why he was alluding to everything so much. And, like, we're not fan. Like, I haven't read a comic, but, like, I researched it and I was like, you could see, like, the big, you know, when you go and you look up the Valerian and Loreline comic, which, why didn't he put Loreline's name in it if he's that big of a fan? But if you go and look it all up, there's these, like, suggested reads. And all those suggested reads, the characters from it show up in a way in the movie. So,
and you get to a point where it was just too much of, why is that there?
Yeah.
Like, why is there a space fishing scene?
Right.
And with the, like, I get it. That was cool. And in the comics, Valerian gets captured a lot more. Right. Because he becomes more aloof. He becomes more stupid. He becomes stupid. And Loreline has to go out there and save him. But the whole movie, when she gets caught fish, like, she grabs the butterfly, those fat, bulbous-looking creatures take her in there. And, like, that scene didn't need to be shot. Like, what was the purpose of that? Was that just to introduce
Was just for the comic relief of her changing all into the outfits and the stupid other...
Like, and he was going to eat her head?
Yeah. That's like, it.
Yeah, and that scene...
That was... all that mattered at that point, and it had nothing to do with the rest of the story. It was just about that, and it to make sure that we have a reason for Rihanna to be on it. Like, and that was it.
And she dies. So
that was 30 minutes of the movie that meant nothing to the story.
And I didn't feel sorry when she died.
Right.
Like, there was... Loreline didn't need to get captured by those things.
No.
Like, the whole second part, like, it could have been... They could have been fighting against the corruption of the commander.
Right.
They knew that the moon, the pearls were alive. Because in the store of Valerian, or at the bazaar, the Valerian sees the people in the cloaks. He's having flashbacks from the dreams. The commander and now the general know that there's a pearl being tortured.
Yeah.
Why can't they fight the corruption? And the pearl invasion, that scene was really cool when they come through the walls and they shoot like slime all over everybody.
Right.
And even the little spider that comes out of his breathing apparatus to cut him out. That was really cool, but space fishing, strip club, and and a bunch of hookers.
I think that's just an ode to Jean-Paul and Christian.
Yeah.
I think that's just like, he's probably sitting there and he's like, man, I remember, like, he had the movie done, and he's like, I remember when I was a kid, I really liked that part, though.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to throw it in the movie.
But we need to make the man be the hero and not the...
Yeah, which is weird.
Like, yeah, because...
That wasn't the case.
Nope. They were equals. That's the whole thing. Like,
well, she was so much of an equal that she's from 1,000 or 1,500 years in the past.
Yep.
And they do travel in time a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that was a huge premise for the comic books. She's from 1,500 years in the past and then comes and joins his military and becomes his sergeant. Yep. Basically, like, you know, not a bodyguard, but like...
Yeah, it becomes
his equal.
Yeah, Spock to Kirk.
So,
and
that feeling wasn't it. He wasn't competent. What's his name?
Valerian
didn't come off as competent, and then Loreline, well, I guess, was his equal because she didn't come off that competent either.
And if you go with why it wasn't her name in there, and I get it, Loreline is a huge French name. Who the hell's naming their kid Valerian? Like, where is that coming? It should have just been Valerian and Loreline.
It says it's an old European name, but...
It's a Game of Thrones sword type, the Valerian steel. So, like, it should have just been Valerian and Loreline.
Right.
The City of 1,000 Planets. That's it.
Yeah.
But I get it. And the only thing we didn't get from the comics that would have worked is if there were no government. Like, the movie ended with there's no more government.
Yeah.
And they're mercenaries. Like,
well, they allude to, like, if this gets out, it's going to be a huge blow. Like, well, let's see that blow.
Yep.
Instead of spending 30 minutes with Bubble, let's see what happens.
And they talk about, like, Clive Owen's character talks about how, did you want us to destroy our economy? Well, the computer of the ship...
Says the economy's been in a...
been tanked for 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's already shit. You can't make it any worse. And then they throw in, like, little CGI creatures to make it seem real cool, like the Dilly Waggies. They were uncomfortable. Those things. She called them pigeons. I don't know what they were.
And then they were insulted. Like, why are you calling us a pigeon? Like,
yeah. And the jellyfish scene, what did you think about that one?
It was cool. Another thing that was, like, cool, but, like, unnecessary. Yeah. Like, you introduce us something you can't carry out. You, like, you can't finish. Like, yeah. It's an unfinished storyline again.
Yeah. No. I don't know where he wanted to go with the movie, but it could have went elsewhere. All right, so we're trying to stay from shitting on the movie as much as possible, but the movie was terrible, and we do like not that the movie was terrible, but the execution wasn't good, and we're doing good. We like Luc Besson, and that's evident if you haven't listened to this whole episode. Yeah. We like him, but the thing about the premise and how Luc Besson, how much this was a passion project for him, was he made a 600-page book.
Yeah.
That he made his cast read. So,
great.
And that was to break down all the creatures and all the worlds that they were going to go into.
What an asshole.
Yeah, like how are you supposed to bring in your cast now? Like, hey, read this 600-page book, and you need to retain all this knowledge. Mind you, our leads are in their early 20s.
I don't know. Really? Yeah. I didn't know that he did that.
Yeah, and he also deliberately cast at those two as English actors because he wanted to get a wider audience.
Well, yeah, okay.
But why those two? Like, were they the up and coming names? Like, oh, Dane DeHaan, he's going to be a star. Cara Devlin, she's box office gold.
He missed his mark on it. None of it makes any sense.
What if the movie was Valerian and Loreline, Tom Hardy and Margot Robbie? That movie probably would have killed it.
Yeah, that would have. And you could have had, you know what? You wouldn't have had to change anything.
No.
Wouldn't have had to change a bit of the story, because you talk about Valerian being in this core for 9 years and all this. He would be, you'd think he'd be an older, well, at least maybe late in 20s. His 30s. Yeah, yeah, maybe 30-something. But
and like not the scrawny kid. If he's a major, I'm thinking somebody who's got a little body mass.
Okay, and the way he's...
He's the scrawniest character in this movie, minus the pearls.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
And they're like Ethiopians, how skinny they are.
But the way that they like portray him as a ladies' man, and like has anyone ever said he's the most attractive man I've ever seen? Like,
I certainly haven't.
You don't get that, like, not that I know, but he doesn't seem like it. Like, he doesn't seem... Yeah, he's like 5'7".
Yeah, like, 120 pounds.
Yeah. You don't get that feeling. He's got to be this big giant, or, you know, he has to look like, you know,
but if he,
a Marvel superhero, but...
If he's a ladies' man, wouldn't you think they would play up on that as he's going through? Like, the only person who kind of played up on that was an escort.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. What if there was a scene where there was, like, in the shopping center? Where there were a bunch of girls, and they're like, oh, man, he's so cute. Yeah, where
it just works on it. Like, he just walks by and they swoon.
Yeah, it wasn't anything.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything that... So it was just like a I think they just added that to show, like, here's your hologram.
How about a Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah.
Valerian.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have worked, but it just didn't work. I didn't even...
If they would have got different names, Tom Hiddleston, Tom Hardy, Idris, whoever they got, would it have been a better movie for you?
I don't know.
Like, if the chemistry was there, could that movie be salvaged?
Because ultimately, all the blame for all the problems... Yeah, okay. Dane DeHaan was horrible.
Yeah.
And his delivery is horrible, and his chemistry with Cara was horrible, and she was horrible. That's bad. But you have good actors in there. Ethan Hawke's in there.
Yeah, Clive Owen.
Clive Owen's a good actor.
Herbie Hancock's
in there. So you have good actors that still didn't, you know, the material they were given. So, ultimately...
There wasn't a character in this.
Are you going to get chicken salad out chicken shit even if it's Tom Hardy delivering? I still think you're going to get chicken shit. You know, like, it'll be better.
More people would see it.
Yeah.
And there'd probably be more reviews like ours.
They would have made, you know, twice their budget maybe, but... It really, I don't think the movie, because all the blame comes down to Luc Besson. You can't replace him.
Yep. This movie could have been the Passengers movie with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. They could have just put them in there.
Yeah.
This, it was...
What this movie needed was First of all, it needed to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
If it was a trilogy, it might have been better. It might have been a lot better because he wouldn't have felt the pressure to just like crowbar all this garbage in there.
Yeah.
Like if he got on one of the streaming services and made it a series. It would have been great.
And I feel like both of them would do a series.
Yeah.
They're not big enough names to say, oh, we're not doing TV.
Yeah, they're not turning anything down.
Yeah.
But
that would have been a great Amazon Prime series or Hulu series.
Shopping around that way, and somebody would have took it, but I don't know. The way it was delivered to us, and I just, if only, like, you know, Christian and Jean-Claude were like, dude, rein it in.
Yeah.
Like,
we get that you're fans, but please, like, just capture the essence of why they're so popular in France.
Tell me a story, not all the stories, and then, you know, it'll be a great movie.
If he would have spent less time creating the character, like creating the worlds and like putting all the money towards the CGI and putting more time in dialogue and the backstories, because there's no backstories to these characters. They all, at one scene, Valerian gives down his resume.
Right.
And it's like, this is what I've done. I am a major.
Yeah, I got 20 awards and all this.
And that's it.
And you think about the most successful, and he wants to compare it, and he wants to say this is the reason why this didn't work, is because the American superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel has spent 10 years developing and world building. Yeah, the ideas were there. The material was there. Well, you can't say the material wasn't there for this. The material's there. But Marvel, I mean, they didn't just drop you into the Guardians of the Galaxy, because that wouldn't have worked. They didn't drop you into Iron Man 3, because that wouldn't have worked. You needed Iron Man 1. We don't have Valerian 1.
No.
It exists in comic books and stuff like that. You can figure out who these people are.
Yeah, but if you're French, you know them. If you're American, these are new characters. It's kind of like Kingsman.
Yeah.
Kingsman could have been a whole different ballgame, but they slowly settled you into it.
And that's... You know, I'm not being, super patriotic and saying, oh, well, if it doesn't work in America, it's not going to work. Yeah. You could sell me something and say it's big in France, and I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'll go and I'll, like French horror and stuff like that. I love it.
Yeah.
But I go and I figure out what they like. This is a movie that's sold American, like they have an American accent.
Yep.
But they're English actors, which is weird. Sell it, like, give me a French movie.
Yeah.
And stop trying to make a buck off it. Give me the movie that you wanted us to see with the people that you want to play the roles. And
opening week, to your point about, if it doesn't work in America, it doesn't work anywhere. This opened with more people opening week than it did in France. More people saw it in America than they did France. It was 17 million versus 10 million opening week.
Wow.
So, obviously we bid on it, but not enough.
Yeah.
And I guess, it's a 49% Rotten Tomatoes movie.
Yeah.
I can see it. It's not great. It's not pure shit because, I mean, like I said, there's more stuff that I like about it than I dislike, but the dislikes are bigger.
I'd catch it again.
Yeah.
If it was on. I'm not going to go out of my way.
And you could watch it with the kids.
Yeah.
I think there was one shit in it, and that was it.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm not going to go out of my way for it. And if this sequel came out, I'd watch another sequel of it.
Yeah.
Just to see what...
But what would happen in that sequel? Like, they get married, they spend 45 minutes on their wedding?
I don't know. I think 15 useless scenes.
Yeah, the Diggy Dallys come back, and they're the bridesmaids.
Or those fat guys that...
Yeah.
That eat humans but are next to a brothel.
Yeah. And you can only go in there if you look like them.
Yeah.
And it was so dumb. And what happened, there's no blowback from them killing their king and escaping. Like, why wouldn't those people go back to the government and, like...
I don't know.
Even, I will say, the one thing about Dane DeHaan that I thought was cool was his battle with the droids.
Oh, he looked good.
He shot effortlessly.
Yeah.
He was just coming out and just blast them in the head. And, like, how dangerous those things were was great.
Yeah. He looked like he... The physical stuff that he had to do, he looked good doing it.
Yeah.
It's just him speaking and talking and delivering lines was painful to watch and listen to.
All the ships were cool. Even the pearl ship was probably my favorite when it split up into those... It was like a giant pearl breaking into little pearls. It was a nesting doll.
Yeah. It was... Every bit of their technology was really cool. Yeah. And everything about what they did was really cool.
I'd do a whole movie on them.
Yeah.
That was really, really neat.
It's expensive because it's all CGI.
Yeah.
They were probably mo-capped, but...
Yeah, Chelsea, when we were watching it, was like, I hope that's computer animated because her body is weird shaped.
Yeah.
Because she was extremely... Like, everybody was extremely skinny, like, yeah. Starving skinny.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, that's a... there's a show called The Expanse. They have to... There's characters that are supposed to be built like them.
Yeah.
And they couldn't pull it off on the budget because it's a sci-fi show. And if you did that, the budget would require you to CGI all of them or just hire nothing but tall models or basketball players.
Just me. Just bring me in there. But I was also reading that this wasn't shot on 3D because the cameras were too heavy for Luc Besson's style. Like, this movie probably would have killed it in 3D.
Yeah.
Just the battle when they're driving, when they're flying, when Valerian's chasing the pearls.
Yeah.
That was really cool, but... You know, when you go into a movie and it's so predicated on CGI, you have a fan behind it that can't separate the fan from the director, and then there's so many character flaws to the point that Cara Devlin's accent slips in it, and it's not cut out, and that the general pronounces the planet of Mule so many different times. It's Mule, Mole, Mal. Like, it's...
Well, that's the thing, is there's so much... They relied so heavily on the CGI that you can't reshoot a scene.
No.
Like, how are you going to reshoot that? Like, I don't know.
You can't even go back for ADR and just say, hey, this is... I need you to pronounce this word right.
Yeah. So...
It's... I don't know. But if it's on, watch it. Don't seek it out. That's that's the premise for I got.
This isn't Luc Besson's best work. Luc Besson has, you know, probably as long as any other director/writer...
Yeah.
A resume of great movies that he's been part of. So,
and he keeps his.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, don't judge him on this. You know, go out and see the other great things that he's done.
Yeah, he keeps his friends in the movies too, because all those people that he was welcoming in were all directors and writers that he's worked with before.
Yeah. Well, Clive Owen he's worked with a couple times. So
could have taken Liam Neeson in this.
Yeah,
who could Liam Neeson could have played
the big commander or the man.
He could play John Goodman's character.
Yeah, but he could have played John Goodman. I like John Goodman.
We should have seen that character more. Like that. Maybe that is the hopes for a sequel.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything in the rumblings of a Valerian sequel. But
I think it got bad reviews, and I think he's just blown his load on it and said, I'm done.
Yep.
But I think Liam Neeson could have played the commander that we don't know his name.
Yeah. And it would have been a more familiar face to see.
Then he becomes a super important character.
Yeah. Well... That's our first review of a movie. And, Blade Runner's coming out on DVD soon, so we'll probably do that one as well. So, last but not least, you just need to follow us on all of our social medias. We're The Greys on Twitter, and that's THEGRYS. And everywhere else, we are The Galaxy Wars Podcast. That's Instagram, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud. And then just watch good sci-fi and give Valerian a chance. Try and read the comics and appreciate the comics, because the comics apparently are amazing.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. Bye.